Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome into our Friday show, everybody. I'm not the voice you probably expected to hear first today. I am Scraby, Matt Scraby, and I'm going to be filling in for Gwynn and Chris all day today. But we have a good show ahead for you. I have Jake Gariani from CBS Sports, right, CBS 8, right here next to me. I'll introduce him in just a second. But we're going to get him on camera as well, so just hold on for that. There was a lot of conversation about what he should be wearing when he came into studio, so I want to make sure everybody gets up there and sees him. Just go to youtube.com/@GwynnandChrisSD, or you could search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. And if you want to chat or anything like that, have questions for us, you can go to the YouTube chat and send them in there. But we do have a lot planned today. Like I said, Jake's going to be in here for the first hour, 2 to 3, and then Kirk Kenny's going to come in from 3 to 4. And Kirk Kenny gave me the countdown topic for today. And only Kirk Kenny would come up with the topic of top 5 child actors. So we're going to be doing that. And both of us are going to have very, very different actors because he's, you know, of a different era. And so I grew up with certain child actors. He grew up with certain child actors. We'll do that. We'll also preview the Aztecs game against Boise State. Plus, later, we have a Klug versus the Fans. We have a Big Five. And then at 5:40, you're going to hear from LZ Harrington, Aztecs basketball team. He's the freshman that in the first two games has taken the team, not by surprise. They knew he was going to be good, but he has been incredible here for the first couple games here to start the season. And with that, I will bring in Jake Gariani. Hello, Jake. Thank you for joining us today.
Mr. Scraby, I appreciate it. I'm very excited to join you every opportunity I get. It really kind of brightens my month each time.
It brightens your month, you say?
It really does. Hang on, I got to get this camera. There we go. Now I'm set. See, should have gone with the sweater vest, man.
He wanted to go sweater vest, but it didn't work that way. And I'm not sure. We have some sort of audio going on in the studio. We'll figure this out one day. We go. I'm just going to pull the curtain back real quick because we went into log in Jake to his computer, and then everything restarted. It said this may take a few minutes, which means they wiped everything. So we're kind of struggling with that a little bit. So we'll get that together.
There's no struggle at all.
Can you see me sweating? And look at Adam over there. He is like sweating as well too. Adam Klug in studio. Only boss I know that would come in and run a show instead of just throwing it off to someone else, which is what other bosses in the past have done.
I can make my best attempt at running this thing if you'd like.
Would you? I mean, do you have any experience doing the button pushing?
Absolutely not. Zero. That's
what
could make it fun.
You're qualified. You're qualified. That's how you do
it. I officially got the job. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Frank Marchese.
Oh, we got Frank
in
coming
now.
In to
ready
fix
to go.
Things.
We got the whole
when
squad.
Big Frank comes in, you know that everything is broken.
There we go. Thank you, good sir.
Thank you, Frank. No, I'm saying it's broken because you come to fix it.
Look at this death stare again.
I know. He's death staring me because I gave him a compliment. Jeez.
Frank, you're
anyway,
the best. Love you,
thank
bro.
Thank you, Frank.
You know everything's going wrong when Frank comes in to fix it. Thank you.
He's not understanding the compliment that I gave
him. That's love right there.
That is love right there.
I'm going to fix his camera so it's not. Oh, God.
Anyway, we'll get started now. Things are underway. Remember to listen around 5:30 for us to announce today's biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. With all of the fan staff, register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. All right. Big 3 weeks for the Padres. There's been a lot that has been going on with this team. And I was driving down here today, and I was just kind of stacking up all the different events. And I'm like, man, that is a full off season of news in about 3 weeks. So quickly, you know, you have the Padres losing in the playoffs to the Cubs. Then you have Mike Schilt retiring about a week later. Then I guess the next big news item would be that Craig Stammen became manager. And now you have the Seidler family saying that they're going to explore a sale of the team. And I've thought a lot about this sale, and I'm going to talk about that later. But when you found this out, because I texted you yesterday, you said your day got really busy when all this news came out. So what were your first kind of thoughts when you heard this news?
I initially kind of felt lied to, almost. I was looking up some of our old video out at spring training February of this year, and eventually ended up posting some of it to social media. But Eric Grubner, CEO of the San Diego Padres, had gone out there and told the media and said, this team is not up for sale, this team will not be sold. And then later in spring training, I asked Rob Manfred about John Seidler taking over as the control person, and he said that John shares the vision of Peter and that he is in it for the long haul. Now, with that being said, plenty can change from February to November of a year, right? You obviously have lawsuit going on, you have a lot that took place. But to have this idea that, hey, we're all out here, we're sticking with Peter's vision, this ownership group is here to stay. And then the Padres did their thing. They won 90 games, went to the postseason. John Seidler was named control person. You felt like there was that little bit of stability, right? Okay, we have Peter's vision in front of us. We're going to continue to move forward with what he built. And then this kind of bombshell yesterday. So there was an initial shock and then a little bit of like, what have we been talking about for the last year and change? And then you kind of start to think, well, maybe things did go a little bit sour. Maybe the honorable thing for John and Scheel and the Seidler family to really see out Peter's vision is to go through with this sale, is to find somebody that's as passionate as Peter was, is to not have kind of the muddiness of the Seidler family situation going on, and to hopefully sell this team to somebody that shares that great vision.
You know, I think we all went through that range of emotions. I definitely did yesterday, because I was like, what?
Yeah.
Kind of like you, like, what? We've been told this whole time. But like you said, things change over time, and I'm more of an optimistic person when it comes to decisions being made, and now we go forward. And this could be a really good thing for the Padres. It could. And I don't really want, it's like a relationship where someone's staying in it just to, you know, stay in it. I don't really want ownership that is not fully 100% behind supporting this team. And I'm not saying that they weren't, because they did put a team that went to the playoffs, but in the end, I think that if they bring someone in who is going to extend Peter's vision, or at least understand what Peter wanted to accomplish as the owner of the Padres, then I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. We could get someone in here. I'm hearing rumors from Woodsy about Stan Kroenke buying the Padres. That would be cool. Joe Lacob, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He owns the Warriors and he owns the Valkyries. He's interested in getting into baseball. So this team, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this team and this team sale is so much different than all of the other teams and team sales that we've seen, because there is so much opportunity for someone who buys this team to make hand over fist money.
It's pretty atypical for a sale. You're selling a jewel and not a diamond in the rough, which is kind of the Ooh. Saying that's been thrown around, right? Like, everything the Padres and what Peter built is perfect for this situation. You have a top two fan base in all of MLB. You have a lease at the number one ballpark in all of the country and in Canada as well, that goes through 2033. So I think there's obviously the fear of the unknown, which, again, I've heard people chat about that, who's going to come in and who's going to take over this team. I think a lot of the bad owners you see in sports these days, Scraby, are the ones that have been sitting in that position for a long time and have been able to sit there and collect their paychecks and not have to, you know, the Dick Monforts of the world.
Totally.
Those guys that have just been able to sit there for a long, long time. I don't think, and there are anomalies out there, I don't think that somebody would spend $2.5 billion on a product that is a really, really good product just to let it sit there and rot. People that are going to spend that kind of money on a product would like to invest more into it, would like to continue that product to grow. And the way sports trends have gone with franchises and only making money, it would just be not logical for somebody to buy the San Diego Padres and run them into the ground. So I think this idea of it being like a jewel to buy, it's going to be a hot commodity. And I think the owner you're going to get in here is going to see it that way.
I agree with you about the other owners in sports. So we're going to talk about Woody Johnson a little bit later of the Jets, because he is angry that the NFLPA report cards are published, and he was the one who asked for them to be suppressed.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah, because he got an F by his players. I'll go through some of that a little bit later. But the Padres also have, you know, they have a core that they have already assembled. An owner can literally just step in and assume a team that's a playoff team. And I see that as another huge part of this sale, as not the shiny object, because the shiny object is all the money you're going to make on the concerts at Petco Park and all that stuff. But I think that what they're going to do is just, they're going to invigorate the team and in the fan base. A new owner coming in, spending a lot of money, showing I am San Diego, I love San Diego. Now, I don't necessarily think there's anybody in San Diego. There's no like rich person billionaire that's going to buy the Padres, so it's probably going to have to come from outside. But I just want someone to come in here and care. I do not want investment groups. Do not want an investment group to buy this. Now, if it's an investment group that has, you know, good intentions, that's fine. But I don't want just some paycheck or check come to the Padres. They're like, yep, thank you, we'll go the other way now.
I think if John Seidler sticks to his word, which take that for what it is to whomever is out there in reading what John Seidler wrote, their goal was to find an owner that shared the vision, right? So if they do their due diligence and they are truly trying to honor Peter and they sell this team to the right owner, then it won't be any issue for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of money at stake.
Greed Lots.
Can often get in the way, and it's impossible to predict what will happen. So I to try and guess the outcome is impossible, but everything we just laid out, you feel at least somewhat comfortable that it'd be a good person coming in to take over the Padres.
Yeah, this is not a team that's terrible. This is not a team that doesn't have a tradition in the last 6 years of winning. Like, I can understand if people were kind of bummed if this team was losing and not good, because then Peter's vision is completely out the window. But that's not the case. So I think that maybe some of the fans out there that are pretty angry about this, I don't blame you for being angry or frustrated or annoyed or anything like that. I would just think about the long-term gains that we could see from this, and that's how I'm going to look at it, because I have to find something in my head to go off of.
And I think that's okay. Like, trying to stop people's emotion throughout this would be a silly idea, because people should be able to be angry. People should be able to feel sad for the situation. The reality of it is that Peter Seidler's vision of this being a generational asset in his family is going to go out the window if they sell this team. That part is very sad, so be in those emotions. That's quite all right. There's okay to feel anger, being what I brought up earlier in February, being told that this team was not going to be sold, and now it looks like it will be sold. So I think sitting in all those emotions is quite all right for the fans and the fan base, and trying to say otherwise would be silly.
Yeah. We're here with Jake Garriani of CBS 8. I am Scraby, and Gwen and Chris are going to be out today, so I'm going to be filling in. We have Kirk Kenny coming in at 3 p.m. And here's what Rob Manfred said in a statement, and Dennis Lynn tweeted this out as a part of his article. But Rob Manfred said about this sale, quote, "I am certain that John Seidler will select a new owner who will continue the Padres winning tradition in San Diego." Very generic quote. Very generic quote. And like you said, you asked him.
Yeah.
You stood in front of him. He told you the team was not going to be for sale. I don't know that I could blame Rob Manfred, because he's not in the day-to-day things with the Padres. But I don't. What I'm trying to say is I don't believe that he has the best interest of San Diego and the Padres in mind.
He has the best interest of whatever's going to make MLB the most money.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
that's his job.
The commissioner of MLB it's the job to be a politician. So I would not take what he says anywhere, to be honest.
Like, I know.
I mean, I guess it's good to hear him say that, but what does it mean? Probably absolutely nothing. I mean, unfortunately, like I said, there's like no way you can predict what's going to happen. You just have to let this play out.
Mm-hmm.
And those raw emotions are going to be out there because of it.
All right, we've got the sale. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. But, I mean, another big news item that Monday, Craig Stammen introduces the Padres manager. I've said it's a risky hire. Like the sale, we have no idea what's going to happen with Craig Stammen. Although I am seeing the writing on the wall that baseball's different now, and their managerial hires are going to be younger, they're going to be less experienced, and they're going to be, I think most importantly, they're going to be used to this world of social media. Because I think some of the other older managers we're seeing are stepping away from the game. Mike Schilt said it. He said that social media was a lot, and it was one of the factors as to why he retired. But going back to Craig Stammen, I think his playing experience is going to help a lot, but I'm just not sure how he is at managing a group of people.
There's a lot with the Craig Stammen hire. I think, first of all, the biggest reason, in my opinion, the San Diego Padres hired Craig Stammen is he was already in the front office with the staff. He understood the vision of where the Padres want to head. He probably understood that the Padres were going to go up for sale, too. If I'm being completely honest,
probably.
Craig Stammen probably knew what was coming next. So
yes,
they were able to hire a guy that knew the rockiness of what may come throughout this sale. On top of all that, you got a guy who played 13 seasons in MLB, six with the San Diego Padres. We, you know, over and over have stated the guys he's played with on this team. He knows them well. I'm not a person who worries about the relationships, like, oh, how could Craig tell Manny what to do because they played together? Dude, these are big leaguers. They know how to act. They know how to play the game. I don't think it's going to be the situation where Craig has to boss anybody around. Craig has to hold their feet to the fire. Like, this is MLB. That just doesn't really take place. So you got a guy that understands how to manage a staff, how to manage a bullpen. You got a guy that understands the vision of where the Padres want to go. Will he be good at this job? I think he said as much. He doesn't know either.
But, and I know that didn't comfort fans, but I'd rather him be honest. I mean, there's a reality to that. There's a reality to him sitting there thinking, man, am I going to be good at this? Because he's never done it. And I think he has confidence to know that he can do it because he took the job, and I'm going to go forward hoping he can do it, but he's going to have to prove it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every new manager has to prove it, and there's this trend around baseball where a lot of guys without experience are being hired.
You have the Craig Albernazes, the Blake Buteras.
You see it all over the place where now people are prioritizing comfortability within the clubhouse, comfortability within the front office over years and years of managerial experience like we've seen with Bob Melvin. So Craig Stammen's going to fit what the Padres want to do. Whether it all works together or not, I don't know. One thing that I found kind of interesting, Matt, that popped up when I was at Stammen's press conference, A.J. Preller talked over and over about trying to have longevity in the managerial role,
he
right? Somebody that's going to be there for more than 2 years.
Yep.
Since that's
he wants a manager that's going to be there for 10 years.
I didn't walk away from that press conference, and I hope I'm dead wrong. I didn't walk away from that press conference thinking, oh, Craig Stammen's in it for the long haul.
Hmm.
Yeah, Craig's an unbelievable guy. But he's a huge family man. He has four kids. Mm-hmm. He talked a ton about that. I don't want to use the word convince, but they had to sell the job to him. In fact, A.J. Preller got on a Zoom with Audrey, Craig's wife, and had to say, like, this is what's going to happen. This is what the role will be. And then Craig said, hey, once I kind of worked all that out, I was head first in. But I just wonder when the full season starts to tax on a guy, and you've got four young kids at home, and you're not seeing it just may be a quick assumption by me, but I didn't walk away going, oh, yeah, that's the guy that's going to be in that chair for 10 years. And again, I hope I'm dead wrong, but it just felt that way a little bit.
No, I mean, you were there. You felt the energy in the room. So you are allowed to share your feelings on that, sir. We're talking to Jake Garriani, CBS 8. We're going to head to our first break of the day. When we get back, we have some more Padres to talk about. I want to get your thoughts on some of the roster moves that are coming up. Also, you're going to answer this question. Do you think Craig Stammen is just an A.J. Preller puppet? That is your question. I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwen and Chris. Back shortly on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back here with Jake Ariani, CBS 8, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. Adam Klug here in the studio as well. We got a couple comments in the break that I wanted to read, but I left everyone with a question that Jake was going to answer. And the question was, do you think that Craig Stammen is an A.J. Preller puppet?
People love the word puppet.
They love to
throw around the word puppet as if A.J. Preller is writing the lineup card and A.J. Preller is going down there and telling Mike Schilt and Bob Melvin, this is exactly who you're going to put in the sixth inning, and then in the seventh you'll do this. It's just not the reality of how the San Diego Padres are run in any way. In fact, it's been talked about many a times that the Padres give their managers tons of freedom.
That's what I was going to say.
More so than a lot in Major League Baseball. So I think, like I talked about before, they hired a guy that shared the same belief in where the franchise is wanting to go. If you want to call that a puppet, I guess go ahead. Pick your verbiage. But it's somebody that shares the belief of where the franchise wants to go. I promise you, if it is July 31st, that might be the All-Star break. If it is a random game, June 30th, and it's a Tuesday or whatever, and Craig Stammen needs to make a change in the bullpen or decides to have a pinch hitter come out, that is 100% Craig Stammen and his staff's choice. This idea of a puppet it's just not true, in my opinion. You found a guy that aligns with where the team's going. You didn't have a guy that A.J. Preller goes, well, I can manipulate him every way I want.
Yeah, that's not really what I don't think he's sitting there at the interview table. I do think it's a little strange, though, that Craig Stammen was the interviewer before he became the interviewee.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine some of those candidates were like, what? The guy who interviewed me is now the guy with the job? Did he steal my answers? But really, like you said, I don't think it's possible to be a puppet in this day and age, because you would know if A.J. Preller was making pitching decisions in the seventh inning of a June 30th game. So the whole puppet thing, like I keep getting DMs, they're just getting a yes man. Maybe he is. I think he will push back on certain things because that's what his job is to push back on things.
It's also the first thing that A.J. Preller said in his opening statement when they introduced Craig Stammen. Was one of the things that stood out about Craig Stammen is we had a meeting with all our bosses. This is back when Peter was in the meeting, and Craig spoke up and actually spoke against what Peter and A.J. had to say. So Craig, he led with the fact that Craig will talk against what the typical idea of what the Padres want to go is. So it's one thing that, like, Craig Stammen is clearly not just going to be the complete yes man. I think there can be two things that are true. You can have alignment, but have somebody that also can push back a little bit. We tried the whole completely different thing with Bob Melvin. Y'all know how that went. You really do. So we tried
I'm
going to
do
everything my way.
Once, and then they didn't make the playoffs with maybe their best team in the last 6 years.
So, I mean, and if that's what you want, I'm just saying those are kind of the two situations that they've done.
Yeah, here's a comment from Wesley. Is their belief the Padres had to settle for Stammen because when the candidates were told potential sale of the team, they declined? I have not heard anything like this. I haven't seen that reported. I don't even know if the Padres had to disclose that to someone until they really got to the final stages of the process. Maybe. What do you think? Do you think that in the first interview, they're like, hey, we might sell the team. That's on the table.
I doubt it. Without being a fly on the wall,
yeah,
it's
hard
really
to
hard
tell,
to
but
have the answers to that. But, you know, Adam and I were talking during the break and talking about what was the home run candidate out there that they didn't, like, you know, we had this guy, but we settled for Craig Stammen.
I'll tell you. Skip Schumacher, but he was already taken.
Skip Schumacher was already hired.
He was already with the Rangers.
I just, like, and I know the name Albert Pujols wants to be thrown out there. I promise there's a reason that Albert Pujols had three jobs pass him up. That's where I'll leave that at.
That's, yes.
I don't think the word settle works in any means for Craig Stammen. To me, it's almost the opposite. If you look and you trust what AJ Preller said about, hey, we had a guy who was on the other side of the table helping us interview candidates, and he was so good, so impressive. I've had my eyes on him for so long that I had to have him in that managerial chair. To me, that's the exact opposite of settling. That's the I did everything I possibly could to get the guy I wanted in that chair.
It's just unfortunate, too, that Mike Schill, I mean, not unfortunate, he did the best thing for himself, but he retired. And I don't think they were expecting that. And it didn't come during a popular, you know, open manager season, if that makes any sense at all. Like, it didn't come in a season. It's like the draft, the football draft. Like, there's not a good quarterback class. It's kind of when Mike Schill retired, there's not a good managing class.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to know how good some of these guys will be.
The next Craig Albernaz, I heard he's going to be a
Whole great manager, Scravy. I don't know. Like, people, especially AJ Preller, they go and get the guy, theoretically, that they want most of the time, unless told otherwise by other people in the front office. But typically, and especially I think in this situation, this was AJ Preller's hire. And it's probably going to be AJ Preller's last hire.
Yeah.
This either needs to work or there's going to be some big changes, and there might be big changes anyways, considering the sale. But I think the vision is to move forward. The vision is to keep this staff and in this front office, even through the sale, is what everyone's saying. It sounds like Preller's extension is close. So I think this was AJ's hire. I don't think the puppet thing's true. I don't think the settle thing is true. I think they went and got the guy that they wanted.
Yeah, Kalos on the chat says the conspiracy theorists won't like this, guys.
The conspiracy theorists hate me, man.
No, they hate me too. I don't ever agree with their conspiracy. That's why they don't like me. Campusano would have been in the lineup most of the 2025 season if the managers are just AJ's puppet. That's a pretty good thing. Cody says Classe is a puppet. I don't know how Classe took strays here in this segment, but
well,
what do you think about that real quick?
A gambling, like, puppet.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's sad. You know, when the whole NBA thing came out, right, and the Chauncey Billups and all that stuff.
Damon Jones.
Yeah, I think when you live in a society now where gambling is so much in the forefront, it sponsors all of our shows. It is every 30 seconds an ad. It is while you're watching sports that things are popping up. This is bound to happen. The one thing I think you could do, and the MLB started to kind of get on this, is like the prop bets got to quit. Why do we need to bet on one pitch in the sixth inning?
I agree.
You know what I mean? But it's in the forefront. This is going to happen. And this is the stuff that's been uncovered. The thing that's crazy to me is the amount of money that these pitchers were doing it for. Guys that have made, you know, tens of millions, 20 of millions of dollars in Major League Baseball doing it for $10,000 a pitch, $5,000 a pitch. That tells me that they're either trying to, like, really help out their friends, the people betting on this, or that it's just about the rush in the race, which is crazy.
It is. It is very crazy that you would throw away your career for about $5,000, $10,000 or whatever. But I agree with you about the prop bets, and I know the NFL came out and said, hey, we've already done this. And it's like, okay, no, you haven't, NFL. You just want all the money. And there's no way that they're going to take gambling out of sports because it's already intertwined. They've already counted on that revenue or that money every year from the sports betting platforms. So I don't mind limiting people to what they can bet. I know that there are people out there saying, well, you know, I'm American, I can do what I want. That's fine, but I can't trust you.
Yeah,
you can't trust yourself.
Genie's out the bottle now.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't putting the toothpaste back in the tube. When you made that bet and lied in it with gambling as professional sports, this is the repercussions of it. And there's going to be a lot of it. This is just the beginning.
I think it's hilarious, too, that all these sports leagues are out saying, we know the dangers of gambling, so we're only going to limit these prop bets to $200 max. Like, come on. I know that the platforms love a prop bet because it's easy money for them, and they love the parlays because it's really easy money for them, but there's just a whole nother can of worms. Anyway, we didn't get to any of the roster stuff, so when we get back, I'm here with Jake Garriani, CBS8. I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the Padres roster stuff. We're also going to talk about MLS. Are they doing the right things to get into the forefront of American sports? But first, before we go, I have a pair of tickets to tomorrow's San Diego State football game against Boise State at Snapdragon Stadium. Get tickets at GoAztecs.com. Be the sixth caller right now, and you will win those tickets. Back with more MLS talk, also Padres roster talk on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
As a reminder, all guests on 97.3 The Fan join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Matt Scraby here with you, filling in for Gwen and Chris for today. They will be back on Monday. I'm also joined by Jake Garriani of CBS 8. You can check out his stuff. CBS 8, he's the sports guy. And he, let him know your social media handles.
It's just at Jake Garriani on everything, which is a bear to spell. I fully understand that. It is GARREGNANI.
Whenever I think about just going at Jake G.
So I have a hilarious story about this, actually. When I first got on television, my middle name is Ryan. My parents are super duper awesome hippies. I'm named after the kid from 16 Candles, Jake Ryan. And so I started getting on television, and they were like, you should just go by Jake Ryan. It is way easier for people to find you, way easier for social media. And I go, I agree. But I'm from a massive Italian family, and if I just throw that name out the window, they will disown me, and I will be barred from the Garriani's. I even watered it down a little. The name is like Garriani, right?
Garriani.
So I was like, I'll just go Garriani to make it kind of simple.
Yeah.
And that was like the best I could do. But no, I fully understand it's a beast. It's probably what's stunting my career. It's definitely not my lack of talent and my lack of good looks.
So
I think
you
it's
would
my
be,
last name
you would
that's
be
hard
Pat
to spell.
McAfee if your name was easier to spell.
Dude, I would probably be like Adam Schefter. You know, like that. I would probably have hundreds of millions of followers on my social media, but it's hard to spell. So
it
here
is.
I am at CBS 8 just doing my thing with my my bad haircut and bad beard.
my name isn't as hard to spell as your name, but it definitely is misspelled all the time. I can't even tell you how many people have called me Scrapey before.
Scrapey.
With the S-C-R-A-P-E-Y. It's written in front of you.
People just give up on mine. In fact, when we were at the Craig Stammen press conference, Don Orsillo was announcing everyone asking the question, right? And Annie Heilbrunn from the UT, Marty Caswell, so Jake from CBS. Donnie goes, I ain't even going to try that one.
Oh, well, Don knows. That's why he's a professional.
That's why he's
he
a pro.
Knows, because I would be the guy trying to pronounce it and then butchering it, and then just everything would be bad about all of that. So you can go follow Jake over there. I always, whenever I spell your name, I say Garrig Nanny.
There you go.
GARREGNANI. Garrig Nanny. That's how I remember to spell things.
I'm stunned. You might be the first person that's not related to me that's ripped out just spelling like that.
I've said this many times on this show. I was the third grade spelling bee champion. So
wow.
You're in a room with royalty.
I got Rubik's Cube. You got Spelling Bee. We're going to crush this. Dude.
That's right. Chlorofluorocarbons was my first word.
I don't even
know. My final
what?
Word. CHLOROFLUOROCARBONS.
Dude,
and
I was an English major and still don't know how to spell.
I'm getting some props for that. All right. Last night, I did the Rubik's Cube Challenge on my YouTube, The Scraby Show. It did not work out for me. I did not finish the Rubik's Cube in 45 minutes, even though everybody gave me instructions that confused me even more. People kept saying, don't put the white on the edges. Don't put the white on the edges. I'm like, what does that even mean? There's like six edges. I don't understand it. But we were talking about this before the show. Jake says he could solve this, but I'll give you till the end of the segment.
How much time do I get?
13 minutes.
Oh, dude. Yeah. This will be done.
This will be done.
To give myself some grace, because we're on the radio,
yes.
5 minutes, but I think I could have it done in about three.
Okay.
Let me get the camera lined up for you. But we can also continue to talk.
Yeah.
Let me not show too much there. Okay. We can also continue to talk.
Yes. The Padres roster situation is you know, the pitching situation is what we need to talk about, because they're probably not going to have Michael King. They're probably not going to have Dylan Cease. I'm honestly distracted because this is amazing what's going on over here. But they're not going to have Dylan Cease. They're not going to have Michael King. How do you think they fill out this rotation? Is it through trades? Is it through free agency? Is it through promoting guys from the bullpen? What do you think?
I think it's going to be a lot of things. I think, first of all, A.J. Preller will most definitely make some moves in free agency. And it's not going to be like the big names that are out there, which there are a lot of like big-name pitchers out there this year in free agency. But it's going to be a guy like that people didn't see coming, kind of like Nick Pivetta was this year, right, for the San Diego Padres, and what a year he turned in. And then they're going to obviously have to rely more on guys like Randy Vasquez and, you know, a J.P. Sears and a maybe a Matt Waldron, and like those guys will do some filling, I think. But I also believe there's the opportunity that maybe they convert some of these guys. I know there's been a ton of talk about Mason Miller possibly doing it. I don't necessarily love that idea by any means, but it is a possibility, and Adrian Morihone might convert. So I think the Padres have options. They've always gotten creative when it comes to their staff. You have the best pitching coach in all of baseball to help with that. Like, I understand the concern for the starting pitching is massive, but I really don't know if it is the thing that will actually hinder them come, you know, the rest of the season. Especially when you talk about, like, look, the reason they got eliminated from the playoffs wasn't because of starting pitching. It's because they couldn't hit the ball, right?
Yeah.
So I understand why there's concern there 100%, but I think more will be focused on the hitting. Sorry, I did get a little distracted.
No, that's okay. I am
right,
amazed
there you go.
By
We're
this
almost
right
done.
Now.
We're almost
if
done.
If you want to see this, you can go back on the YouTube. Just
you
search
hurry, because this is about to finish.
Well, you can watch it later, but 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. Also, Gwynn and Chris SD go about the 43-minute version or mark in the video. You'll be able to see it. The other thing that we've learned this week is that the Padres are not opposed to bringing back Luis Arraez. And, you know, I know that he's not a fan favorite in the position that he was deployed in last year.
Right.
But I do think for the right price and getting him out of first base, he's a valuable piece to this team. He ended up with the highest batting average on the team. Even though we gave him so much crap all year long about his batting average, he ended up with the highest batting average.
I think by far what you said is the most important is it has to be the right price because...
Wait, did you just finish it?
Yeah. It has to be the right price because Luis Arraez, there was huge concerns about keeping him in that two spot, right? And I think the fact that Mike was very, very stubborn in keeping him in that two spot and making sure that he stayed in that two spot, it was a big hindrance on the entire lineup. So if they do decide to bring Luis back, it, one, better be really, really cheap. And two, Craig better be willing to move him around that lineup, move him around either defensively or DH or whatever they decide to do with that. But I have serious hesitations about bringing Luis back. I really do. And if you're going to do it, got to be very affordable.
Very affordable. Not the $14 million that he was making last year in arbitration. I don't think he'll make that this year. I don't have any idea what he would get on the open market, which is what he is. He's a free agent, so we'll see. But we're on the same page. Bring him back, but bat him lower. And if he's doing well, maybe you can move him up. But just be fluid. I hate that word, and I hate that, you know, just be fluid.
Yeah.
But that's really the only way I can describe it. Before, I know we have just a little bit to go. I got to say, that was impressive, Jake. he literally solved this Rubik's Cube while he was talking to us. Adam, can you believe that?
I don't know what's more impressive, solving the Rubik's Cube just in general, which I tend to believe is not that impressive, because if you know how to do it, it's not that difficult. Is that accurate, Jake? You know what you're doing. Like, you could do it anytime you want, as often as you want, correct?
Yeah, it's just a
what
series.
What you learn.
Yeah, it's a series of algorithms you memorize in your head, and based on where the colors are, you apply an algorithm.
So it's more impressive to me that he was able to do it while talking.
Yeah, that is impressive.
I work in television. There's always people talking in my ear while I'm talking.
That's true.
Like that. Although I did get a little distracted. If you go back, I was kind of rambling
were fine.
A little
like,
bit.
Like, honestly, you were doing a radio show while doing a Rubik's Cube, and I feel very dumb for sitting there for 45 minutes trying
Please
to do
don't.
That. I'm not a math person, and you need to be a math person.
It actually has zero math involved. It's
okay.
Just memorization. So don't feel bad, because it's purely memorization of like algorithms, right? So like up, down, left, right, up, down. Algorithm is a really fancy word for memorizing
yes.
patterns.
No, I knew that.
And so like all you have to do is just apply some memorized pattern. It's very fun, though. It's a great party trick.
Yes, I would be. That would.
I may have gained 3 whole followers on social media for solving
Jake
the Rubik's
Gariani,
Cube on radio.
If you respect him solving the Rubik's Cube on the show while talking about Padres baseball, go follow him Twitter and
his
Instagram.
His Padre takes are horrendous,
but he's a really good Rubik's Cube solver.
This guy has no clue what he's talking about when it comes to baseball, but man,
can he work his way around a Rubik's Cube? All right, real quick.
Again, all you gotta do is at Jake G.
I do. Jake Ryan.
That's gotta be
shout
taken.
Out to my parents.
Jake G has to be taken.
Here's my theory, is if I'm doing a good enough job, people will eventually find it.
That's true.
The internet's a wild place. Yeah. CBS 8 San Diego sports guy, you could find it.
But. Yeah. Just type in Jake G CBS 8 on Google. Boom. There
at
you
Jake
go.
Jake G's available.
It is available.
Oh. No, it's not. There's a guy with 0 followers and 0 following.
See?
He's never tweeted.
Either. Hey, that's my account. Careful. Jeez, Clue, my man. Good lord.
I wanted at Scraby, and there's some dude in Russia that combined his first and last name to be Scraby. And I messaged him, and he wanted $500 for the account. And I'm like, no. And so
bucks.
This dude, I swear, he does just the minimum to keep the account alive because I keep searching to see if it's available, and I don't know. It's really annoying.
He's hedging his bet, man.
I'm not paying $500.
When you make it huge and you're a gigantic radio star,
thank you.
You're gonna be $500 will be nothing. He'll be like, see, glad I hung on to that.
Yeah, he'll be like, I want $50,000 now, and I'll still say no.
Hey, man.
All right, before you get out of here, let's talk MLS real quick. SDFC has moved on in the playoffs. The game is not for another 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 days or so. So we don't really need to talk about that, but I want to talk about what MLS is doing to try to put themselves into each household and become maybe a big five, of sports, not a big four of sports with basketball, football, hockey, and baseball. But they are removing the double paywall to get access to their games. And starting next season, if you have an Apple TV subscription, you'll be able to watch games without having to pay a fee on top of your monthly subscription fee. Also, they announced that the schedule in 2027 is going to be overhauled. They're shifting to a summer to spring season that aligns with global soccer calendar and mirrors Europe's top leagues. So what they're doing here is showing me that they really do care about this American market, and they're willing to make big changes for the long run.
I think everything that they're presenting and that they're doing is really, really smart. One thing that I think is very important about MLS is they realize they're not the biggest soccer league in the world, which sometimes egos can get in the way of that. MLS is not the biggest soccer league in the world. So to align themselves with the other leagues, to make MLS be more available to get players in certain windows, to make big time players be able to want to play more in MLS because it aligns with the rest of the leagues, makes a whole lot of sense. The double paywall thing is, it's just obvious. I'm glad somebody finally did it. Like, you want your product to be seen, allow people to see it.
Yeah.
You know, quit making people pay 700 things to watch a match. Soccer is a lot of fun. And I will admit, I wasn't a huge soccer person before SDFC
Same.
Got here. I'm hooked. We're down there tailgating, going to the match, going nuts with the fans. It is a beautiful, beautiful sport. And people that are out there that love it are going, duh, we knew that. But for those that are getting into it, allow the people to watch it. Allow the people to get into it. Love that about Apple TV moving that second paywall down. And then as far as the calendar shifting, I think it makes a ton of sense. Like, this international break right now kills a lot of the momentum mm-hmm. that we have. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable 3-game series that they just went through with Portland. Advanced. People are ready to chomp at the bit this weekend to go out there and watch more SDFC. You got to wait. So getting that out of the way, aligning with the rest of the leagues, brilliant, the transfer windows, it just all makes a lot of sense. To your point, I'm really glad MLS is realizing that and making it available to people.
I love this quote from the MLS commissioner, Don Garber, about the schedule shifting. Quote, there was overwhelming support for this move. That was positive, but it wasn't necessary. The most like backhanded, this is great, but I didn't want this.
We were going to do it anyways.
Yeah,
we
were going to
take the credit.
Yeah, and I'll be the guy who leads the charge. But if MLS, this is the first step for me. And I can't, like, you have to, as you said, put yourself in the face of people with everything that we could watch these days. We got so much stuff going on. Like, I am not going to go and pay extra for a soccer game because my station paid for it. So
mine too.
But at the same time, like, this is the only way to grow in this environment. And they have to get a little bit better at promoting their players, because I don't know enough about their players in all of MLS.
Yeah, and they've got some really good ones, and hopefully
Messi,
they do get better.
One of the best players of all time.
SDFC alone has some unbelievable players, and winning and making your product more available obviously puts that in the forefront of people. And if you haven't gotten on that SDFC train, man, it is a lot of fun, and we do a good job covering it at CBS 8. I'm going to shout out. Plug.
Shout out.
Hashtag
CBS
not a sponsor.
8, always down there. Not a sponsor. You also do football stuff on Sundays, right?
Big football show. Every Sunday, as long as CBS 8 has a late game, we're on with a post-game show. And it's one of my favorite shows in all of the market. Well, obviously, I'm a little biased, but it's also one of my favorite shows to do. And we're huge football fans, obviously NFL fans at CBS 8, and we talk a ton of football.
Yeah, football I know is a weird topic in this town, but I think for the most part, people, if they're not supporting a team, they're paying attention, and then there are the people that don't pay attention at all, so that's fine. I get most hate messages when we talk about the NFL. That's when I get most of them.
Yeah, football's king, no matter what. So you got to stick with it, you know?
But in this town, actually, baseball's king because the Padres are number one. Jake, thank you for coming in today. And thank you for solving the Rubik's Cube so that I don't have to do a computer program to get it back to the way it was.
Man, anytime. Much love to the both of you and Adam, and all the people listening out there. I really appreciate it and really appreciate all the support, man.
Yes. Thank you, Jake. I got lost in your nice words there. When we get back, Kirk Kenny is going to be in studio. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the bowl games, the Holiday Bowl. We're going to talk about the Aztecs. Also, a countdown. So plenty to go here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.